Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.
Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
All right, Father, we thank you and we give you the thanks. We thank you for your truth and for your word. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Thank you because the word flows freely to those who hear. And thank you that every person receives from you light, revelation, wisdom in your word, understanding of the truth of the gospel. We give you the thanks for it. We speak it that way. Thank you, Father, for your truth and goodness. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Okay, we've been in a study series titled, God is my source. God is my source. And the last thing that we saw was that faith is a gift. And to finish up, we were seeing how the Bible uses the expression of a lot of faith. A lot of faith, little faith, no faith. One of the things that we have to understand is faith is a gift. Amen. Faith is a gift. But faith has to be used. Amen. Faith, you have to use it. That faith is inside of you. And there's no good if you don't use it. Amen. Faith has to be used. Okay, before going to the Gospels, continuing where we were speaking on little faith, lots of faith, etc. Let's go to Luke chapter 17. We'll start reading. Well, we're going to understand the context of things that the Lord was speaking. See, faith has to be used. It's true that there's a lot of circumstances, and I'll be explaining all that, but there's a lot of circumstances, a lot of problems. People have a lot of issues, many ugly things in the world, but what are we going to do? You know, just stay as if we don't have authority? Or as if we don't have the Lord? Amen. There's a lot of weird doctrines outside, out in the world. A lot of weird doctrines, a lot of religion. And religion is very comfortable for some people because all the responsibility is put on God. Remember what we studied on Sunday, on Job? Well, upcoming Sunday, we're going to see the second part. Now we're going to study is how God was not at fault of what happened to him, but God neither permitted it. And there are still millions of Christians who think that, oh, when something happens, God permitted that to happen in my life. And God permitted it with a purpose. And there are things that God does permit, but we have to understand what God permits. And some of the things that happen is not just because God permits it that way. You have to understand God permits what you permit in your life. If you permit or you allow discouragement, depression, well, God will permit it as well. Because God gave us that authority. And if you don't use it, amen, you have to use it. You have to use what you have. That's what this is all about. Chapter 17. And I've been praying and praying and not praying like begging or how, Lord, how will I do it? And I just flow and ask for that anointing to explain this to all, to those who listen. Because there are some Christians, millions of Christians who still believe that they're like Job. Or if something happens to them, it's that they're suffering like Paul did. But they have issues. And they don't know how to get out of that situation. And they pray as whatever they think is best. And that on all those prayers do is just give place to the devil. Words will give authority to Satan. Luke 17. Just follow along with me. I'll follow the Holy Spirit and then you follow me. What do you say? That way we can all follow the Lord. 17, verse 5 and 6. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this multiberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea. Notice, if you have faith as a mustard seed, notice verse 6, notice how the petition of the apostles or of the disciples in 5 and the answer from the Lord are very different. Can you see that? Notice how in verse 5, he said, increase our faith. The answer perhaps could have been, I don't know, maybe, well, here's some more faith, or here's some more faith for you, for you, or here's another kilo of faith. That would be a more adequate answer according to their petition. But notice how it has nothing to do with it. Notice how the answer has nothing to do with it. Notice the answer here. If you have faith as a mustard seed. But you and I have the type of faith as the Lord. So if Jesus had to tell them, have the faith of the Lord, it means that they lived in another era, another pact or covenant. But notice, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you could say to this multiberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea. Why did they say, increase our faith? Why? What did the Lord tell them before this? Well, let's see from verse 1. I said, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your word. By the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. Amen. Satan is under our feet. Hallelujah. By Christ Jesus. Thank you to the Lord that we are children of God. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Now, Luke 17, verse 1. Now, why did the apostle say this? Why did they say, increase our faith? What happened here? 17:1. Then he said to his disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come. But woe to him through whom they do come. That word, offenses, has to do with, well, being yourself offended. Notice verse 1. Help me with the version in English. It is impossible but that offenses will come. What is that? The offenses. That's what that word means. Watch, take care of you yourself not being offended. Well, this one person told me they insulted me and this and that. Well, okay. Again, don't receive it. Remember that the devil will always use people, and people can offend you on purpose or perhaps not on purpose. Someone said something, someone accused you of something, someone said things that they shouldn't have, etc., whatever. Perhaps they were carnal. You yourself don't get carnal. It is impossible. But woe to him through whom they do come. Verse 2. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Now, notice how in verse 1, he said that it would be impossible. Fortunately, it would be impossible, which is why in verse 3, take heed to yourselves. As to say, do not get offended or do not receive that offended feeling. Continuing, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, to say, oh, and what do we say? Oh, no, no, I'm not going to forgive you. I already forgive you the first time, and the second time I'm not going to. Amen. And that's wrong. Notice how that's wrong. We come up with those things then. Well, I already forgave you last time. Making yourself look stupid. Well, it says there that if he comes 7 times to you, 7 times a day. So if he comes tomorrow and he asks for forgiveness, will you forgive him? It doesn't say that you have to trust him. Notice how he says that you're best buddies. Just say to forgive him. Never judge someone. When someone truly asks for forgiveness, never say these stupid things that some carnal Christians say. Well, I don't know. I didn't feel that it was sincere. Really? Were you God and you were inside of them? It's not your issue here. All our job is to do what Jesus said. And some Christians put themselves so holy. They say, oh, well, the Holy Spirit revealed to me that it wasn't sincere. Oh, sure. Really? Did he reveal it to you? Oh, wow. Amen. There are some Christians who just, they get very, as if they have the anointing of Prophet Isaiah and Jeremiah at the same time. All the Lord said was to forgive him. Your job is not to figure out if it was sincere or if you felt it or if you felt it sincere or not. Our job is not to be questioning that. Someone say amen. Get rid of that stuff. And then notice this. And that's why in verse 5 the Lord said, oh, the Lord had to answer to them. Where they said in verse 5, oh, they were very carnal here. Many times they were very carnal, if you remember how the disciples were. They said, oh God, well, I can imagine them scratching their heads. They thought, oh man, we'll increase our faith. How do you understand? That was too much for them. But Jesus answering with a very different answer to their petition. So if you notice how the answer does not go with their petition, they said, Lord, increase our faith. Well, for example, suppose you go with a pickup truck and they load you up with some sand or some dirt or rocks. And you say, hey, you know what? We'll increase the amount of sand, right? Well, you expect it. Well, here's some more sand or some more rocks or whatever. But then, well, the answer was very different. What was he trying to say? Now, let's see here. First of all, if you have faith as a mustard seed, well, what is the seed? What do you do with the seed? The seed has the potential to mature and to grow, to develop. Notice this. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this tree, be pulled up by the roots. Another principle here of faith is to speak with words. Notice this. Look at this. Verse 7. And which of you, we're going to see from verse 7 to verse 10. And which of you, having a servant, plowing or tending sheep? Notice how now faith is what? As a servant. Faith is your servant. It's a gift that God gave you. And it's your servant. When problems knock on the door of your life, don't go and open it. Send your faith. When sickness, poverty, I'm knocking on your door, send your faith. If I have the time, I'll tell you quickly. And I was talking with my son, and now with Anthony, when we were coming out of our home. He was driving. And I've spent years where, about 4 years where I don't drive coming to church now. My son drives for me, and I was telling him, I have to tell you something because then you'll hear it with the people and with our faith partners. But it doesn't matter. I like to be honest. I spent 20 years of my ministerial life, understanding this. How to use the faith that God gave me effectively. Four simple steps. It was in 2013, I started preaching faith in the grace of God. And from 2013 on to here, I started practicing and practicing. And up to this point, I've achieved some things. And I teach you this so you don't spend so much time. So you don't have to learn in the school of hard knocks. The school of hard knocks. Where the hard knocks that I got from the devil, where you don't have to take them and you don't have to spend so much time in that. Hey, that's love, isn't it? I could say, hey, well, you go on your own, frick you. I'll tell you right now. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in front of the field, come at once and sit down to eat? Well, in those times, who are seeing here in the Bible will know that that wasn't common. Now we're a bit more democratic, and that will say, ah, well, doesn't matter, employee or boss or whatever, we can eat together, doesn't matter. But back then, that wasn't used. So the answer would be like this. And which of you, having a certain plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? The answer would be no, right? No. That's to say, if you have a servant, especially if they come in, let's see what, especially when it's raining, then if I go with my children to go feed our calves, it's raining and our boots and our pants all full of mud, and then you smell like sheep, goat, cow, of everything. You have some cow manure, sheep manure. You smell like everything stuck onto you, and the Nubia says, "Oh, you smell like the outside." So it wasn't very common where the servant would go in to eat with the boss or the owner. But that was at that time. So now verse 8. But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Remember, is using faith as what? As a servant. You have to use that faith. Verse 9. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? The Lord answers here. It says, I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are profitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. So your faith will do what it has to do. But there is another lecture here for those who serve in any area, that we will not boast ourselves, we will not say this and we did that, and all we say is we are unprofitable servants. We do what we have to do. The Lord gives us the strength, the ability, and the help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful with the Lord? Now. Notice this. We're going to read verse 7. 8, 9, and 10 in the New Living Translation. Look at the screen. See. Luke 17, verse 7, yes. When a servant comes in from plowing or taking care of sheep, does his master say, come in and eat with me? Verse 8. No, he says, prepare my meal, put on your apron, and serve me while I eat. Then you can eat later, because you stink. Prepare my meal, put on an apron, change, and serve me while I eat. Then you can eat later. Verse 9. And does the master thank the servant for doing what he was told to do? The answer would be, of course not. In the same way, when you obey me, you should say, we are unworthy servants who have simply done our duty. But notice in verse 9, and does the master thank the servant for doing what he was told to do? And does the master thank the servant? Faith is your servant, for doing what he was told to do. Majority of Christians do not use that gift that they have inside of them. They do not use faith. They let the circumstances and problems win them over. Instead of just using that faith, start using that faith against those circumstances. Notice that. Use the faith against the circumstances. Don't be speaking them. My brothers and sisters, you have to have a revelation of this. I'll tell you this very quickly. Very quickly. Perhaps I don't have the time today to give you a Bible or to showing you all of this, but I'll show you. I'm in no rush right now. I'm in no rush. Glory to God. And I'll tell you why I was speaking this with my son. Now, again, I'll show you the principles of how to use your faith. I don't like to use steps, but I don't know how to describe them any other way. Like, step 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, etc. Because then you're in step 8, and then you forgot the other 7. But these are 4 that I can give you, and they're all linked together. And then I'll give you the Bible. What do you say? On how to use your faith. And it has to do with this, on how to use your faith, and how to hear about all you speak, and all that. So, the first practical way of using your faith. Are you ready? And then I'll give you Bible. I'll repeat it. Then I'll give you Bible. And this has to do with this has because the Lord has been reminding me through the years. From 2013, just preaching on grace and faith, the grace of God, etc. But a couple years ago, and some of you remember. Many of you that have been here for years. I was here 1 or 2 days, and then next day, oh, pastor's preaching in so-and-so place, and then on the road, in traffic, flying through airplane, whatever. Well, whatever was available transportation. In this case, a plane and a car. Airports and all of that. And I was telling my son, if you remember, son, but, and he went with me that time. We went to go preach. We went on a Thursday afternoon. We flew to Los Angeles. And from Los Angeles, we flew to Santa Rosa, California. And then I was there preaching Friday night, Saturday, Sunday in the morning, Sunday in the afternoon. Then I came home on Monday. I arrived on Monday. Then we arrived on Monday. Arrived the afternoon. I was here on Tuesday. On Wednesday, I went to Tucson to preach over there. The church where my pastor used to pastor over. And then that Thursday, I went to Casa Grande, Arizona, and I preached in English. All those other were in Spanish, but this one was in English. And there were a few friends of mine, all graduates of Bible schools, and they invited me over to preach and to share the word. Then on Friday, I came back home. Then Saturday, I was here. Then Sunday, I was here. And coming out of Sunday afternoon, the whole family went to Mesa, because on Monday we went to a Bible study. It was very tremendous. Well, a while ago I was in Louisiana, and these have to do with those few steps of faith. And this minister, his husband and wife, they asked me, are you okay? And they said, well, we thought that you were perhaps ill. Remember, I shared that with you. There were some people, because when starting last year, I did not travel to the point where I denied some pending invitations by direction of the Lord. And for, I don't know for what, with what motive, or perhaps someone misinterpreted something that I shared with them. I said I was just busy taking care of some things here at church, in my personal life and personal business, and in the ministry. And I have to seek the guidance of the Lord. I don't know in what moment they misinterpreted or misunderstood. And they perhaps thought that I was sick. And there were a few ministers that thought the same thing. And when I was in Louisiana, I smiled and I said, no. But I had already heard of that, of course. But they had shared the same thing with him. And which is why I was no longer traveling. Because they thought that I was sick. But I wasn't sick. I was with you guys. What I'm trying to say is, for 19 years and few months, I had been traveling for so long, so many places, different states, preaching the word. But after that, I'm seeking the guidance of the Lord, and this has to do with rest. I'm in no rush, is my point. Boy. Here's what this other step has to do with. First of all, to use your faith. You have to have a revelation, an understanding, truly, of the grace of God. Let's define, or let's review a few things. Let's see who remembers. What are the foundations, the two pillars, or the two foundations of the grace of God? There is no more. Two pillars in which the grace of God is set upon are the two foundations. Let's see. The first one is the unconditional love of God and the finished works of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have to understand, you have to have a revelation that everything has been finished or has been paid for. Healing was paid for. By the grace of God, I was healed. Doesn't matter what symptoms you feel. Doesn't matter what's going on. I said it doesn't matter in the sense that it doesn't matter if you're sick or not. I'm saying it doesn't matter in the sense that the price was already paid for. It was already paid for. Everything has been paid for. And you have to start using your faith to eventually get out of that illness or out of poverty. Everything. Here's something that I know perhaps for some of you still struggle with this. Forgiveness. You were already forgiven. When the devil comes to condemn you for something that you did wrong, instead of saying, oh Lord, please forgive me. Again, you were already forgiven. As you say, I'm already healed. Well, I'm already forgiven. Amen. You don't confess something to be healed. You neither confess something to be forgiven. You confess what you already are. You confess that you are healed. You confess that you are forgiven. Even people in our area still confuse this. Not everyone, but some say that, oh, you have to confess it. And yes, of course, you have to confess it. But you confess it because you're recognizing what you are and what you have in Christ. Amen. Here's an example. Philemon 1. Man, there's a lot of circumstances. I'd like to preach a little bit longer on this. Philemon 1, 6. Philemon 1, 6. That the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement. By the what? By the acknowledgement of every good which is in you. Notice how your faith, that servant, can be effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you, in Christ Jesus. But you see that word, acknowledgement. The translation in English is a bit better. I'll put it in English. That your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging or acknowledgement, as to recognize. Recognize. You acknowledge. For example, perhaps a practical way of understanding this. I acknowledge that I have a green tie. What am I doing? I'm acknowledging, affirming something that already is. Amen. So you have to recognize it. You have to acknowledge it. And you can't avoid that. I believed, therefore I spoke. Those who do not speak the promises is because they don't believe it. My brothers and sisters, God will not obligate you to believe. Believing is out of your own free will. And if you believe it, you will speak it. If not, then your faith is dead, is what James said. And if you truly believe something, you will speak according to the word of God, not contrary. Not the circumstances. We do not deny our problems, but sometimes the problems take longer to go away because people are more conscious and they're speaking and speaking and speaking and speaking and speaking. The problems. No one denies them. And people of the world and Christians will always have problems in this life. We will. Jesus said that we will suffer persecution. But what are we focusing on? Eventually, what you believe and what you speak is what you'll act upon. That's what we have been seeing in the Bible. People want to act, but they don't even believe on them. Because they think that by acting, they'll produce faith. No, faith produces those actions. Faith in you will produce those corresponding actions. But it's something that you believe with your heart. What did I tell you then? First step, first way of on how to use your faith. And I told you, this is something that I've been learning for 4 years now, and right now I'm enjoying it because, as I told you, remembering some things with my son, invitations here and there. I was here for 2-3 days, and then other days I say, "Oh, well, I gotta go buy more sheep or my more goats," and then going to the auction or buyer what was there to buy them, and I win good money, and I sow a lot in the kingdom. But last year, that's part of this year as well, I've received some invitations. And I've told them, not just yet. Perhaps in the future. I'm not going to stop God, of course. But, you see, I'm not guided here. Because, again, I'm a spirit, same as you are. But I also have a human side. And I'm not going to put more work on this body more than what God told me. And that's what many Christians do. I'd really like to touch upon this subject a bit more because it will help and bless you. You have to do corrections in your life. Trust me, the Spirit of the Lord will use this teaching to correct a lot of things. We have to correct things and start changing. Because if we don't change them, then the devil will take advantage. And I'm teaching you how to use your faith. How to use that gift that is in you. How the only thing that you have to do is this. All you have to do is look. You ready? The CCCs of faith. Let's see. You have to cooperate. Collaborate. And correspond. That's all you have to do. Cooperate, collaborate, and correspond at faith by grace. And it's His faith. Amen. So here it comes. First thing that I told you, you have to have a revelation. And where do you start? You have to start having a revelation of how much God loves you, and his finished works in you, then you have to live the world of it is finished. So that your faith can be effective. It is finished. For example, let's say you took a decision, and by not hearing the Lord, your life was going like this, for example. Let's say your life was like this, and then out of nowhere, due to wrong decisions, not hearing the Lord, now you're going this way. And then, oh, you suddenly realized, oh my God, wow, look at the problems that I'm in now. And not just you and problems, your family, your wife, children, etc. What is the solution then? Instead of being condemned, you say, oh, thank you, Father. I repent, Lord. I'm forgiven. You know what Christians do? Oh, I know, Lord. My fault. It's my fault, my fault. Yeah, my fault. My fault, I'm here. I'm stupid, I'm dumb, and they start condemning themselves. And then, you have this sensation that God is mad, is angry with you. Although you may not say, you have that sensation to the point where you don't even want to turn up to heaven because you feel like there's this cloud on top of you. It's just God going, grrr. Or perhaps with a hammer. An old bearded man is like, oh, that's God right there. And worse, when there was lightning strikes, you say, oh, it's because God's mad with me. Where you say, oh, it was my fault, which is why all the lights of Douglas went out. And then you just fall in condemnation. This vicious cycle. That is saying, Lord, I'm forgiven. Thank you, Father, that I am forgiven. Yeah. Made a mistake. It's true. I was dumb of me, but thank you. Now, I hear your voice. And now I seek your direction. You will help me to get out of this. Now you start using your faith. Start connecting yourself with the grace of God. Start connecting yourself with the wisdom of God. You start speaking what you want to see in your life. Not what you have. Speak what you want to see. Well, perhaps God is testing me. No, God is not testing you. It was decisions by mistake. God does not test you with evil. Hold on. This is a very delicious coffee that my daughters make for me with zero sugar. And my daughter Summer makes it for me. Glory to God. I'll tell you how my mom tells me. Well, my mom's retired, but when she used to work for the government, perhaps when there was a break, or I think there was perhaps a kitchen there in the office that she worked at. So all workers would go there, and my mom would take out her lunch, and she'd ask her coworkers, "Oh, do you want some? Oh, but tell me that you don't, because I don't want to share any with you." And she's been very honest her whole life. And I believe I inherited that from her. Amen. Which is why I tell you not to ask me, because I have very little and it won't have anything for me as left. I tell them, I'll ask my daughter, hey, do you want some? And they'll tell me, no, thank you, Dad. And say, okay, good, more for me then. But for the first step, you have to have a revelation. Truly understand it. Not just saying that you understand it. Truly having that revelation. Second, understand that everything was done. Everything was paid for. That is the grace of God. How to use your faith. Second, then I'll give you Bible. Second, you have to believe that you receive it. You have to believe that you receive it. First. You have to receive a revelation that it's all been finished for. Revelation of the grace of God. Second, you have to believe that you receive it, which is why it says, when you pray, believe that you receive it. That's what I've been speaking on. So, following, enter into the rest of God. enter into the rest of the Lord. Resting does not mean, as in English, is being idle. That's what resting, that's not what resting means, just being a couch potato with the remote control in your hand and then a phone in the other with a pizza on your stomach. That's what that doesn't mean. Not saying that's wrong that you do it every once in a while, but it's not what that means. You have to you have to push yourself to enter into that rest. As to say, how do I enter into the rest of God? How do I enter into the rest of God? What does all that mean? Again, continue from here on. You have to hear it and understand based on what I just told you, based on the finished works of Jesus Christ, the love of God, which is the grace of God as well, based on that you believe that you receive it, and on the example of, well, how can I know that I'm in rest? Because if I tell you millions of Christians around the world do this that I'm about to tell you, but they do it, because inside of them, that's how they see it. They say, if I do this, my God will do this. So God will do this. No, it's not like that. First of all, Jesus already paid the price. And what Jesus Christ will do, and has already done, will do it based on what Jesus paid for. Some of you are still struggling to understand that. No, Brother Hughes. God does these things based on what I do. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you're, the last Coca-Cola in the desert? Good thing that he doesn't do based on what we do. Because some of us think that we're doing it all right, and then in some area we fail. Right? When God does things, he does things based on what Jesus did. And all we do is respond to that. Let me give you an example. Remember, you're going to hear this, and many of you have heard it for many, many years, and many preachers and apostles, prophets, pastors preach this. Many preach this, what I'm about to say. But I can assure you, they'll always do it based on legalistic actions. Majority of them. One example. Let's suppose that one of you has some sort of problem in your life, and you're using your faith, you're praying, you're seeking direction to the Lord. You're developing and you're releasing those promises, confessing the word. You're confessing because when you confess, you release the power of God. Part of that. But then, I'll tell you, because this was a great result in my life. Let's go to Hebrews 10. And because I can assure you, some of you will read it, and again, to those dead works. Here we go. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. See, so that evil conscience of, oh, God is mad with me. God has given up on me. God of this, God of that. There are many Christians. It's not a criticism. It's just an observation. And I want to help you. I don't know here. I haven't seen it because I sit down here. But there are some Christians who just cannot raise their hands when they're praising. They are so bound. I don't know. They're so condemned that they think that if God will come down from heaven and smack them on the hand saying, bring your hands down. Let go. Glory to God. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, which is the word. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as it is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much that as you see that the day approaching. This is an observation, not a criticism, but I see how in certain denominations they'll preach how on verse 25 they say, so much so as you see the day approaching. Hallelujah! A rapture is coming and you're going to stay. Well, of course the churches are going to be filled because out of fear. But notice how it says here, but exhorting one another as so much as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, stirring up love, very different to fear. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as it is the manner of some, but exhorting one another as so much more as you see the day approaching. So, there are some times when I lived in Mesa, starting how to understand this and practicing this. But there were still a few times where I would get sick. Remember how I used to suffer of asthma? And at that time when I was getting out of asthma, I was getting out of all of this, I didn't have the money. And I had a Chrysler Levero. I didn't have AC. At one point, I didn't even have a job. I had very little money on me. You know what I would do when I wasn't working? Remember, love? I'd tell Nubia and I, as you know, we were boyfriend and girlfriend. We didn't live together. We weren't married yet. She still lived with her parents. She was in her last year of high school. And I would call her and I said, I'm going to go to the service. I'm going to go with my pastor. I had a service in the morning on Wednesday for those who could not come in the afternoon because some of them still worked. So they had a service in the morning to church and then in the afternoon. And then Sunday, and there was no internet, there was nothing. So I just take the cassettes and I started listening to them in Mesa. Go to church. Not so that God could tell me, oh, there goes, oh, poor him. Poor dude. He goes from Mesa to Tucson with such heat. Oh, he doesn't have any money. You remember how I told you? I had some smooth tires. They look like a baby's butt. One mosquito that poked them and that was it. Really? But it's what I needed. Notice how I never did it of, oh, so that God could see me suffering of his child and of his servant. Hallelujah. That he goes all the way to Tucson with this heat and with no money. Barely so he could reach for his gasoline. And when God sees that, he will bend on his knees and give him some money. That's how some Christians think, unfortunately. You know what? I was in the rest of God. I would start speaking what I needed, and I would do how to go to church because I knew that I needed to be with people of faith. I needed to hear. I needed to be in that anointing. But it was because I was in the rest. I'd leave problems behind. Supposed to be that God takes care of those issues, right? Again, when you want to fix your life, and God enters into that rest. Again, want to fix your life. Apologies. God, when you're working, God is resting. And when you're resting, God is working for you. And I understood that many years ago. And you know what I would do? I'd say, love, I'd call Nubia. I had a phone back then. There was no iPhones yet. 2001, 2002. A Cricket. I remember. One time I left. Wednesday at night. And I went out of the service. Told my pastor, I'll be here on Sunday, pastor. And Nubia will be here with me. Because in the afternoon, as I told you, I'm out of Mesa High School. And then out of high school, she'd go to work, and she worked in a kindergarten. And she asked for Nubia, and she said, and I told him, well, she'll be here on Sunday. I think she asked for permission from her parents. Coming back, I was praying, just saying, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory to God. Thank you. And in that, when I was coming out of Tucson in Marana, a police officer pulled me over. I said, oh, what happened? I was coming at the limit. I had my seatbelt on. What happened? My license plate light went out. Very kind. And he asked, do you know why I pulled you over? I said, no, sir. He said, well, I hadn't noticed it, Lord, sir. He said, where are you going? I said, I'm going back to Mesa. And he said, give me your word that you'll fix that tomorrow. And I said, yes, sir, I will. He said, okay, go on your way. And I just went praising God, praising the Lord. But I didn't have money to pay rent. The apartment that I was living with a lady, Miss Lydia, and her son, Edwin. When the Lord would attack me with when the devil attacked me, just negative thoughts, I'd just say, oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that it is finished. Thank you that you are my provider. You supply all of my needs. And I had been believing for that job to enter into that last company where I ended up becoming a foreman. And when I arrived at night, it was about 12 at night, I entered into that room and Edwin was sleeping on his bed because it was a department of two bedrooms. In the other bedroom, Miss Lydia slept there. And then there was my bed. And I start seeing the shirts. I had two shirts of the company. I said, oh, glory to God. I knew right there and there that I had a job. But I didn't want to wake him up because he worked in that company. And it was already 12 at night. And when he woke up, I woke up with him. I said, do I start today? And he said, no, you start on Monday. Well, you'll start now. I said, oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I called Nuvia. The afternoon, I went with my in-laws, as of now, and we were talking about the word. In the afternoon, we went to church. And the Lord always supplied for our offering and for our gasoline. And it was God. It was God, but the people say, oh, I don't have this, I don't have that. You start speaking problems instead of speaking the solution. What is inside of you? There it is right there. Glory to God. And I was struggling because it would have been almost a month without work. And I've been cleaning yards and small jobs here and there. But God was always faithful. And I knew, and when I gave, I didn't just say, oh God, you see, poor me, right here. Please see me. I'll give you the last $10 that I have, but let's see how I'll do it. I won't have any more gasoline. I won't be able to eat, but oh, I'll just give you my offering. No. Those are bad attitudes. Second Corinthians. Why don't you believe it? Why don't you believe this? Why can't you believe it? There won't be anything because you don't believe it, there's nothing that you can do. God can't do anything. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Notice that here? But notice this. Hold on. Notice this. Because, oh, well, I have to give and they want to remove my money. The church is this and that. No. Verse 7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity or obligation. For God loves a cheerful giver. But Brother Hughes, I don't have anything. Well, hold on. Don't rush yourself. Verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiently in all things, may have in abundance for every good work. So verse 8 says that you are able. No, it doesn't say that. It says that God is able, not you. And God is able. So who is God in this case? I know that in verse 6 it says, he who sows, but yeah, continue reading. Verse 10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower. Who is he? God. Brother Hughes, he doesn't give me seed. Well, there's an issue here. Or God is lying. Or you don't realize when God gives you the seed. And you eat it along with the bread. Because it says here, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. We'll go back there for a moment. Let's go to Philippians 1, verse 6. Glory to God. 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Who? You are God. Huh? Oh, you see? I still hear me. Someone said me. God. God. Aren't you reading it here? Being confident of this thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I don't see myself here. Do you see yourself here? I don't. I see God. In me. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work, in other words, it's God in you and through you. It's that faith that is in you which belongs to Jesus. All you do is just respond to that faith. With your faith, my apologies. Is respond with your faith to the grace of God. Again. Verse 10. 2 Corinthians.
El que da semilla al que siembra.
He who supplies seed to the sower. He who supplies seed to the sower. Okay, well, I'll give you a principle here and I'll show you how to see a God of grace in the First Covenant and in the Old Testament. I know that this verse is used a lot to condemn people. And one time I was in this church and I was so uncomfortable. I had compassion for those people who were there. Because my heart, using that figurative phrase, it hurt my heart to see the manipulation that was there. And they use this verse. Exodus 23:15. You shall keep the feast of the unleavened bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days as I command you, as the day appointed in the month of Abib. For in it you came out of Egypt. And again, this is how this pastor was preaching it. And then, up to this point, he changed his tone of voice. And none shall appear before me empty. Hallelujah. Shut up, but to the point where I got scared. Or even I gave an offering. That's how I saw God angry in that moment. It's true. No one will present themselves with their hands empty. But even in the Mosaic Law, if you study something there, they sowed the seed and God came the multiplication. So the same verse could be applied here with the light of the revelation of the second covenant. He who has seed to the sower. So you don't represent yourself, you can't present yourself with empty hands because you have the seed if you have that faith inside of you. Amen. So what's the issue? Well, if you don't know how to discern, we'll say, Father, help me to discern. And give me seed to sow. And the seed will come, believe me. And you'll know. And no one will obligate you. 2 Corinthians 9:7, one more time.
So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity. New Living Translation. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response of pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. That's it. No pressure. You'll give and you'll give in faith. And you'll give because you love God and believing that God will bring that multiplication. That's it. Glory to God. No one should tell you how much to give. No one should put a gun to your head. That's what that pastor did. Spiritually speaking, he put a gun to the people's head. And you do it cheerfully out of your heart. And now we are in another level, but even then, we are still believing God for greater things. And we are doing... Well, I don't want to use up more time. But in these few years, we've been limiting ourselves in certain things that we need at home, remodeling my home, my bathroom, especially our bedroom. Fixing up more, extending our home because we don't fit. And I've been fixing the other homes little by little, especially our home in front, because we receive visits and I'd rather honor our visits than myself. And there are some things there, and I want to bless people and more people. And we've been sowing and believing, and we've been believing for that seed, for that harvest. That's the love of God, where you put someone else before you. I told you. Told me, hold on. Just hold on. Because I wanted to start fixing my bedroom now and extending my home. But he said, hold on. Because I want, when I tell you, give a significant seed, give more for a project here in church or something that has to do with television or help someone or people or help another church or help other people. I want you to have that seed ready. Time will come. They're coming. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why I continue confessing. Apart from that, someone will give $1 million in this ministry. Amen. For my associates, I have two or three that have told me, no, it's going to be me, Brother Hughes. But you have to believe that. I know our criticism, and you're going to give your pastor. Do you honestly believe that? We haven't even finished fixing the temple. But if perhaps we had the church completely fixed up, television, radio, there are some TV and radio stations where we're just one hour or half an hour, and we're radio stations in other countries now. Do you honestly think that, oh, how are we going to pay? Just what we pay for light here, for electricity, the electricity be here a month. If you see the receipts, you'd scream and not out of joy. And these people, I don't want to curse them. People that criticize us, they do it just because they have a mouth. They don't know how much Nubia and I give. They don't know how much Nubia and I have done certain sacrifices. We've driven the same cars since we started. Not that one malfunctions and we have to send another one and this and that. And they're old cars and old cars. Malfunction more often. And yeah, I can quickly go. I have very good credit, thank the Lord, and just get a new car and all this, but it's not the time. And when I do it, I'll pay it cash. But it'll be fruit, or it'll be a harvest of my seeds. I don't know. And I don't know if I want to buy a new car, honestly, because they devalue themselves very quickly. And since I have a investing mentality, well, I don't know, perhaps another year, because they lose value very quickly. And while I start thinking, whoa man, well, what I paid out of what it lost in value, I could do this, I could do that, I could invest here. And how many of you remember of Brother Ray? One time he told Sister Rose, I know who the pastor is now. He was helping me somewhere there. And a buyer of some animals arrived there, and he overheard the conversation. He said, I know your pastor now. Our pastor is a negotiator. He's a commercialist, and he's a negotiator in the kingdom as well. And that's, which is why I like to. So, in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many of you are believing for the best this year? Before it finishes, glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm putting my faith to work. I've already heard from God. To help people. For those who have been faithful for years. And for whoever God guides me to. Seeing that I came.
Mucho gusto. ¿Cómo? Ah, no es cierto. ¿Cómo te fue, corazón? Bien, bienvenida, mi amor.
Gracias.
¿Y Gohan? ¿Dónde está Bifi? ¡Bifi! ¡Hey! ¡Bienvenida! Gloria a Dios. Gracias, Señor. Ya los íbamos a mandar a buscar con el FBI o algo así.
We were about to send the FBI to look for them.
Yeah.
Ya quiero que sea el viernes. I want it to be Friday already to come to the concert. Thank you, Lord. We're going to praise the Lord and have a good time. To just spend time with the Lord and just rest in the Lord. You need to see this as the peace of the Lord. Just give glory to God all day and say, thank you, Lord. The devil comes and comes with him. And you say, thank you, Lord. Satan, you are condemned. And Satan comes and says, it was your fault. And you said, yeah, Jesus Christ, thank you, because I am forgiven. I have been made just in Jesus Christ. And that my seed, the seed that the Lord has given me, is producing and giving. And he's giving a good harvest. And then you tell the devil, and you say, I'm going to laugh when I see the harvest. And the day of vengeance comes. When the manifestation of what you're believing comes, it's the vengeance towards him. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We bless you. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God for your faithfulness, your goodness. It is done. Speak that we are healed. Jesus' name. And if anyone is going through a pain or a sickness, everything has been paid. By Jesus' stripes, you have been healed. I cast out all sickness. It has no place in your body. I cast it out in name of Jesus. Spirit, spirit of scarceness, I cast you out. If you trust in the Lord, He will do. Your Father, Lord, is working towards your favor in the finished project of the Lord. God, our Father, is working in your favor. God is working in your favor. Rejoice yourself and pray in tongues. Give thanks to Jesus. Enter in the peace and rest. The Bible says that we give thanks when we pray in tongues. Thank you, Lord, because I am healed. Thank you, Lord, because I see the victory of what I am believing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I didn't finish, so on Thursday we'll continue with this. Thank you, Lord.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.